Hola y bienvenidos a este capítulo de
Platica con Pueblo.
En este capítulo tenemos sus locutores Richie Requena y
Julián Martínez.
Y hoy estamos entrevistando al autor de ¿Qué tan rápido se puede quemar el pelo? Diego Camacho. Talk to us about your poem. Did you know how your hair burns quickly?
The poem itself, I feel like, is just meant to encapsulate an emotion. The best way I know how to put it is, hay una canción, Las Piedras Rodando by El Tri. And that's sort of in the same spirit. In the song, he says, that basically his friends are like rocks. They're going to continue to roll, and one day they'll meet again. And my dad always played me that music, and he told me about, like, his friends growing up, friends that he will never see again. And somehow it's a similar thing my father and I share. That I have many friends I'll never see again, even with technology. Because not just from my move from Los Angeles to Chicago, but I moved a lot growing up, and I've had many friendships that have sort of faded into nothingness. But what's notable about this friendship is that it faded into something, but the memories are more impactful. Right, because like I said, I can't even remember the friends I've had before I moved here to Los Angeles. But, you know, her and many of my other friendships, you know, I have those memories in my mind burning bright today.
Yeah, I was wondering if this was based on like a real life occurrence. What inspired the writing of this?
I mean, this did happen in real life. Like, I did light my friend's hair on fire. But, like, it's just one of those, like, memories that sort of, like, sits in your head. I guess, I don't know how many people's hairs you've lit on fire, but you don't typically forget when you've lit a person's hair on fire. And it's a bit ridiculous, and it's something I feel, like, pretty guilty about. And I don't really, like, obviously, because the day it happened, I was like, I mean, I'm not a sociopath. I was like, I'm so sorry. I feel very bad. And, like, the same day she forgave me, my friend forgave me. And, like, we were cool after that. And, like, we were friends all the way up until high school. And, like, we still speak, but we're not, like, exactly the closest friends anymore. Which I guess is sort of the point of the poem itself, right? How, I don't know, not just childhood, but friendships fizzle out. They burn out. And in this specific case, it isn't even like that we didn't have a good relationship or anything like that. It's just our paths went different ways. But this, the poem itself, the reason why I was writing it was just because of, it's something you don't forget. I never forgot the day I lit her hair on fire, and I just sort of kept thinking about it, and like, what does it mean in my life now?
Yeah, the poem's kind of framed that way, where it starts kind of looking back at an event, thinking about that nostalgia, and then it kind of takes you into that moment. It kind of reflects that, and then at the end does that exact same process backwards.
Obviously I rewrote it, but that's sort of how, when I was rereading it the first time, how it originally was, it didn't feel right because that's how it played out in my head. It was like a recollection, and it didn't read right. So that's what I was really happy about getting those edits in.
And I also like how it has a pretty strong rhyme to it and almost like a sort of meter to it. It gives it, it feels like you're looking back on a childhood memory.
Yeah.
Kind of how it's written in a simple way, and pretty blunt about it, but also humorous, the way that you do look back at ridiculous memories like that.
Because, yeah, it's something I still feel bad about today, and, like, even when I first wrote it, and because I published it, it was a part of a collection of in my chapbook I wrote a collection of poems I had written for class, and I sent her the copy of what I first had, and she just laughed it off. She's like, I can't believe this is just something that's happened. And it's exciting to see how the poem has evolved and how it's sort of taken new meaning now. Because at first it was just the recollection of a fond memory, but it has greater semantic meaning because of the relationship she and I have shared. And my own personal life experiences moving from place to place and what that means for those friendships.
Oh yeah, like something I noticed, like, in this poem, and you did also in your other poem, Diego, was, like, you kind of took it to, like, a third perspective, and, like, you remind yourself, like, you couldn't even laugh when it happened, you know? You stared at the ashy patch as you walked her home. I guess then, do you see it, like, almost like a conversation with yourself, maybe, or... Like, what like that's what effect it gives to me.
I mean, it's absolutely a conversation with myself. But there's also, like, a third speaker. And that's sort of how it feels now. I guess the reason why I would say that there's a third speaker and it's still true that I'm conversing with myself, because the third speaker is me, mature, grown, taking a look back at a moment. And then there's me in the moment and what I was feeling in the moment. So that's really why I chose to keep it in the third person. Because it is three characters. It's not two.
¿Tú crees que tú escribes en esta manera mucho? Como viendo al pasado con nuevo madurez. ¿Escribes muchos poemas en ese estilo?
Pues, la verdad creo que todos, cuando escribimos de nuestra vida, escribimos así. Porque... si estamos escribiendo algo es porque ese momento o lo que pasó es importante. Y si es importante es porque no han cambiado, no han enseñado algo nuevo. Y creo que eso es lo que me fascina tanto, de poder expresarme en esta forma. Porque yo creo que todos los hacen... cada día, cuando están solos, piensan de los momentos en su vida y, oh, yo podría hacer esto diferente, oh, yo podría hacer esto otra cosa. Y eso es, yo nada más lo escribí, ese momento. Es nada más lo que pasó.
Sí, eso sí me da algo de fascinación, ¿no? De reflejar en tu pasado, pensar, no nomás... cómo pasaron las cosas, pero por qué se sucedieron así. Y creo que con este poema, pues, aquí reflejas, ¿verdad?, tus amistades de niñez, y qué tan rápido, ¿verdad?, se acabó también a veces, si te pones a pensar.
Sí, claro, y también Yo creo que muchas veces cuando pensamos de crecernos o no sé, pues yo siempre lo veía así de niño. Yo siempre quería ser un hombre grande porque me molestaba que me trataban de niño. Y ahora ya me molesta ser tan grande. Ya tengo muchos biles y yo me gustaría ser niño otra vez.
Una pregunta que tuve. You say we both sat on the hillside dirt that overlooked Colis. ¿Dónde es Colis? ¿Qué es Colis?
That's the street by like our neighborhood. The reason why it's like so notable is just because like that's where everyone goes like to go for trick or treating. That's like the really good street because that's where they give out the good candy. They decorate really nice, and that's the street where we were at. But like if you're from this area and you read the poem, you know where it is.
So that's kind of another symbol of that innocence, you'd say?
I guess so, yeah. It's also like good. I grew up in Los Angeles, but I feel like I've never seen my kind of Los Angeles in media. And this is my Los Angeles. And I know Collins is still a very superficial way of describing this area. I'm not exactly too impressed with it, but I think it's a good start. And little by little, that's what I hope to do in the future, is incorporate more of my Los Angeles within my writing. Not just Los Angeles.
That's interesting, yeah. I mean, how do you take it from not just a nondescript city to the personality of the place that you live in every single day? That's important.
Yeah, and it's also like what people see when they think of Los Angeles. It's not all the glitz, the glamour, the Rodeo Drive, the Hollywood. That is a very prevalent part of, I guess, Californian society, or Los Angeles society. There is that fakeness to it all. But I feel like that exists everywhere. Specifically here in Los Angeles, though, I feel like there is a very real community, a very real people that are often overlooked and ignored. And it's these immigrant communities that I grew up in. Even some of them aren't even immigrant communities themselves. They're what's left after the immigrants have come, right? They're the children of immigrants, sort of like me, right? And that's just sort of it. Like, I want to put myself in Los Angeles, and I want Los Angeles to reflect me.
Okay, well, thank you, Diego, for your time. This has been another episode of
Platica con Pueblo.
Este ha sido Richie Requena.
Soy Julián Martínez.
Y yo soy Diego Camacho.
Y gracias por escuchar.